think that is something that a lot of folks, you know, grumble, gripe, and fuss, and carry on. And I do that sometimes. Y'all say amen right there, because you do. But, man, just think about what God's done for you and how good He is. And, you know, we'd do well. I know me and Sister Lynn talk about this a lot. Get your Bible, look at Ephesians 4 and 8, and you see in there what he says about that, whatsoever things are, and he gives a long list of them, and he said, think on these things. And it ain't stuff you're mad about and stuff that upsets you and stuff. You won't find that, right? But thank God, think on those things that are lovely and of good report and all that. Well, let's take our Bibles this morning, if you will. We're kind of in the Christmas mode and thinking about the Christmas story. I want you to look in Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2, and, you know, again, this is one of those things, the more I studied on it, the bigger it got, amen? So, y'all get excited about some of those. Blame Brother Tyler for it, because he's the one that told me, he said, sometimes you get to studying things, and he said it just gets bigger and bigger, and it's like trying to hug a mountain. You ever tried to hug a man? You can't get all the way around? Well, that's the way it is with preaching sometimes. You can't get all the way around what you want to say. But I want you to look with me, if you will, here in chapter number 2. Something, of course, real familiar with us. And verse number 6, if you'll begin reading there with me in chapter number 2, it says, "And so it was that while they were there," and that "they" is speaking about Joseph and Mary, "while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. As the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the morning. Thank you again for loving us today. And thank you again for the good time of singing and fellowshipping and worshiping you in all the ways we can. I pray we continue that as we look in the Word of God. Just give us some direction. Give us some wisdom. Give us your help. Give us, just what we need from heaven this morning. Speak to that one that needs to find the salvation of God at this time. Would you just be a blessing in that? Burden our hearts to see lost folks saved. Let us rejoice and be glad in what you've done. We'll thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Amen. I'm going to preach to you this morning. Now, we've been kind of with this thought about some testimonies of Christmas. Some testimonies of Christmas. And, you know, last time we talked about Joseph and the kind of testimony he gave. Well, I want you to think about this morning. This is the testimony, if you will, the testimony of heaven. The testimony of heaven. Or think of it this way. When heaven touched earth. When heaven touched earth. Can I tell you, that's what the story of Christmas says to me, is that one day God let heaven touch earth in the form of a little babe by the name of Jesus. Amen? That's when heaven touched earth. And I want you to look at this scenario, if you will, all of these verses that we read. And like I say, we may not get very far on it. We'll go about as much as we can and think about this morning. But I want you to think about this first as you begin to look at this. We know how that everything is lined up, how that everything is put together in the picture, how that God has orchestrated everything. You know, there's a lot of folks that wonder, how in the world was God going to do what He did? And He did it in a very unusual way. He found a virgin young woman and caused her to have a child by the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, that's amazing. He told Joseph to fear not to take her to be his wife. Don't worry about all the talk and all the chatter and all of the negativity going along with that. Just go ahead and take her as your wife. And he told Zacharias and Elizabeth about their son John going to be born. He was going to be the forerunner of Jesus. All of those things are just amazing. And now God's got to get this situation together in a little town called Bethlehem. How's He going to do that? Well, you know the story, how that it says that God used one of the world's monarchs at that time, one of the rulers of the world. It said that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And by that, everybody had to go to the city of his ancestry. And you know what God did? He got Mary while she was expecting that child. In the latter part of her days of pregnancy, He got her to the city of Bethlehem by having to go and pay taxes. Amen? Boy, somebody say, that's a blessing. It ain't really, is it? But I mean, it was the way that God worked. Sometimes we do not understand how God works in the things and in the processes that He does. But that's the way He did it. And it says everybody went to be taxed. Everybody went to his own city. And it says, you know, while that's going on, here's Joseph and Mary, great with child. And it gets her there. While she is there, the Bible says, that she brought forth, it was so, in verse 6, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And then the scene changes a little bit, and some unusual development happens. I want you to look at that first of all with me this morning. Let's talk about the angelic announcement. There is an announcement that is given to this world about a birth that the world had been looking for, about a person that the world had been looking for, but it came in an unexpected way. I mean, the Jewish people had always knew they were going to find one day a Messiah would come. The Messiah was coming to rescue them and to help them. But they had something different in their little minds than what God had in His. They were looking for it to come as a, just like the heaven opened and a mighty warrior come down and destroy the political enemies and establish the kingdom of God, and the Jews would be, oh, just in charge of everything and all their worries and all their fears and all their problems. But that's not what God had in mind. God has delivered this little baby, and now He's about to make an announcement of that birth. Doesn't everybody love babies? I mean, just, you know, babies. Just, I mean, people come around, and I remember Brother Otis Seale said, you know, when everybody has a baby, everybody thinks their baby is the cutest thing that's ever been born. Say amen right there. Mamas and daddies do, you know, especially mamas. Well, it's the most beautiful baby we've ever seen. You know. And Brother Otis Seale said, you know, people come up to me and they'd show me pictures of their baby, and he said, sometimes they're ugly. I mean, ugly. He said, they'd say, isn't that a beautiful baby, Brother Otis? He'd say, I'd look at it, and he said, I had to think of something. I said, what a baby. If you ever hear anybody say that, yours is ugly, amen. I'm just telling you. Well, anyway. So everybody loves babies. I mean, man, when you think about it, but and babies are born every day, right? I mean, we'll go into a new year, Lord willing. We'll make it here in the next couple of weeks, and we'll be into a new year, and they always have these babies that were born on the first day of the year, the first baby is born, all that kind of thing. And everybody just oohs and ahs over babies. Well, here's a baby that's about to be born, but can I tell you, what a baby. What, I mean, this is a babe that's going to change the very course of history. And you would think with that God would go to the palace of the king and make the announcement. But isn't it real strange and unusual the way that this announcement is made? It's an angelic announcement, and it was just something that was just very different. Listen, it says, and there were in the same country, as all of these things that were happening in the same country, shepherds that were abiding in the field, in verse number 8, and keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The angel of the Lord came upon them. Not the aristocrat, not the royal, not the high and mighty and the well-to-do, but he came to the lowly shepherds out in a field as they watched their flocks. Some of the historians have said this. I don't know the truth of it, but this is the historian says that the shepherds were about as low as you could go on the socio-economic level in the land of Israel. Nobody thought very highly of shepherds. I mean, they were just kind of the bottom rung of society. Matter of fact, I read some things that said a shepherd could not even go into court and testify in any kind of a law case because they were that lowly thought of, that they were kind of scrupulous and they didn't have very much accountability. They were just, you know, not to be trusted. I mean, they just wouldn't look. But somebody said the only thing lower on that level than a shepherd was a leper. Boy, that's a pretty bad company to be associated with. These guys were not highly thought of. Isn't it amazing that God said, I don't care. I'm going to go to the lowest and announce the birth of the highest. Amen? And that's exactly what he's done. So you look at this angelic announcement. First of all, realize this. I want you to see in this angelic announcement, it is a bold and bright announcement. It said, and lo, verse 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And notice, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Man, wouldn't you imagine me and you'd be there? I mean, you think about this. Here's an angel, and we know that angels are the messengers of the Lord. That's what the Bible tells us. That's the job of an angel. An angel's job is to carry a message from God, bring it to somebody on earth that God has designated. That's what the angel does. But do you realize this? It has been more than 400 years since the people of Israel have heard anything from God. You can go back in history sometime. You read it, especially Bible history. As you read, it talks about the silent years. There were 400 years. At the end of the book of Malachi till you begin the book of Matthew, it's somewhere 400 plus years. They hadn't heard anything from God. I mean, could you imagine going that long and your structure of religion, your thought of God, all of that? I mean, just can't hear anything from them. They've been used to hearing from God. They've been used to having prophets. They've been used to having the priesthood. They've been used to having all of these things that would let them know that God in heaven still heard them, still had a word for them, and still loved them. But it's been 400 years of nothing. And then God says, I got a word for you. Amen. Do you realize this when you begin to think about this? Here is God getting ready to send his angel and do you know what the very last word? The very last word in the Old Testament is curse. If you go back and look at it, it says in the book of Malachi, very last chapter, last verse, it said, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. With a curse. The last word that God said in the last book of the Old Testament is a curse. Wow. Isn't that amazing? But can I tell you, when we open a new chapter, when we open a new book, when we get to the next scene, God says, I'm through with the curse. I'm about to give you a blessing. Not just a blessing, but the blessing in sending my dear darling son to be the Savior of this world. Amen? So, man, I'm telling you, here this angel comes, and he comes in brightness, he comes in boldness, he comes in a flash. It said it was the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Every time an angel appears in your Bible, you'll see, in the Old Testament particularly, you'll see that there was some fear from the people. Because usually when an angel showed up, it was usually bad news. But I'm telling you, this angel came, and he said, "Fear not." He said, "I want you to know something. I didn't come to bring bad news. I came to bring some good news." Amen? This appearing of this angel has come in, and it's been, as I say, those 400 years. He comes to the lowly. He comes in a bold and a bright manner. And thank God, I'm glad that he came on the scene and he had some good news. Amen? I mean, I want you to notice this. Look, he has come in a bold and a bright manner. But I want you to know this. He brings some news about a birth. He brings some news about a birth. Oh, as I said, babies are born every day. Babies are born into royalty. Babies are born into poverty. Babies are born to the well-to-do and the ne'er-do-wells. I mean, the babies come all the time. And listen, it doesn't matter, buddy. They're there. And as I said, we think of them as blessings in our life. So-and-so had a baby. Well, praise God. Isn't that good? I mean, we're blessed when we think about that. But this angel came and said, "I've got some news for you about a birth." It says, look, he said, "Fear not." And the angel said, "Fear not," in verse 10, "for behold," listen, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Amen? He said, "And this will be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe." I mean, we're talking about the birth of a baby. Well, doesn't that seem unusual that God would send an angel to announce about? I mean, listen, David was the great king of Israel. There was no angel to announce his birth. Solomon was a pretty great king in Israel. There wasn't no angel come and announce his coming to the kingdom. But aren't you glad when Jesus, the darling Son of God, came down from heaven? I mean, the angels came and announced his birth. The angels came. And they said, "Don't fear, I got some good news." Amen? I mean, listen what he says. For, he says, "Fear not. Don't be afraid, and I'm going to tell you why." For, that's what that word "for" indicates, is this is the reason why I'm telling you, don't be so fearful. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." I mean, look, he said, there's a baby that's being born. And look what he said, "for unto you." Unto you. Well, that was the shepherds, but it wasn't just for the shepherds. It was for everybody that ever has been and ever will be. Jesus was born. Amen. Aren't you glad that, man? Aren't you thrilled that God let us have a Savior that was born on that day? Somebody said, "Well, preacher, was that December the 25th? Let me just tell you something. We don't know that that was the day He was born. We have no idea. And I want to tell you, if God doesn't tell us specifically in our Bibles about maybe a day and sometimes, you know, the place and all the events, right? He doesn't tell us the day. He gives us the place. He gives us the people. He gives us a lot of information. But we don't have that. You know what that means? That means, you know, I don't worry about, was it, all the people coming out. "Well, preacher, how do you know he was born on December 25th? I don't know that. But I can tell you this. He was born. I may not know the day, but thank God I know what he's done for me. Amen? Amen? Hey, listen. There's a lot of people in this room right now. I could ask you and say, "What was the day that you got saved?" And you know what? There's a lot of people come to me before and say, "Preacher, I really don't know the exact day." Yeah, but was you there when that happened and you know you got saved? Amen? I mean, you may not know, well, it was, you know, October the 1st or, you know, whatever the day was. You may not know that. That's okay. That's okay, but do you know that you did have that encounter, that meeting, and that time when Jesus came in, convicted you of your sin, and you got right with God? Boy, when you know that, you can shout anyway. Amen? So here's Jesus. We don't know the day that he was born. We don't know it, but I'm telling you, he was born. There was a birth. And these angels are bringing the good news. He says, for unto you is born this day. I don't know what day it was, but I'm telling you, there was a day when God said, now let him be born. The Bible said in the fullness of time, Paul writes, in the fullness of time that Jesus came into this world. Thank God, aren't you glad? Hey, wasn't up to me and you to figure it out. As I said, there have been 400 years of silence. There have been many unusual things happen before that time in the Old Testament. But thank God, there was a day. And I'm telling you, thank God, I'm proud that that day came. Amen. Here it is in a little town called Bethlehem. Jesus is born of a virgin by the name of Mary. Unto you. You know what he said? Good tidings of great joy. You see that? He says, "For fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. I'm bringing you some good tidings. What's good tidings? That's good news. Good news. And that good news should produce great joy in every person that hears it. I mean, that's I mean, listen, everybody needs to know what is this whole situation about. Well, let me tell you what he says here. First of all, the angel talks about the boy. Amen? He said, there's a boy that's been born. You know what? Isaiah had foretold it 700 years plus ago. Isaiah said that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. And he began to tell them, he said, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. I'm telling you, thank God, the government's going to be on his shoulder. I'm telling you, that was told hundreds of years before, and now it's come to fruition. The angel talked about a boy. For unto you a child, unto you a son is given. Do you know the angels in heaven were given the information that it was going to be a boy? Can I tell you? And this angel right here says, let me tell y'all something. The boy has been born. Well, how do they know that? Well, I mean, you know, that's the way it is. They know when we don't know. Now, I know nowadays people go, they're expecting a child. You go to the doctor and they do all the ultrasounds and all them things they got nowadays. And back when our kids was born, y'all about my age, your kids came along. You didn't know. You just got the luck of the draw. Amen. I know I told the doctor when Casey was born, I said, this is going to be a boy. He came out, he was a boy. Woo, that made me right, didn't it? Wow, hallelujah. Well, Scott came along, and we didn't know. I mean, his name was almost Kelly Brook. I'm just telling you. And we go in there, and on them days they'd let you go in. And as he's being born, I looked at the doctor and I said, that girl's got the biggest shoulders I've ever seen in my life. He said, that's because it's a boy, it ain't a girl. I said, wow, I can't believe that. I was wrong one time in my life. But, but you know, we just kind of have a fit shot at. But isn't it amazing? The angel knew. I mean, the Lord knew. I mean, that's not unusual. That's not unthinkable. But man, it's amazing to me and you sometimes. But this is a story about a boy. Not only is it about a boy, but he talks about the boy, and then he talks about the joy. He said, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Well, what is joy? Well, let me tell you, joy is a little different than happiness. Happiness is very dependent upon what happens, right? You can be happy because this happened. But you'd be sad if it didn't happen. But let me tell you what a good definition of joy is. Joy is this. It is an inner gladness, a deep-seated pleasure that is birthed and energized by the Holy Spirit of God. Aren't you glad you can have joy, whether circumstances good, ill, in the middle, whatever it is. Thank God you can still. And the angel said, I'm giving you some good tidings of great joy. Great joy. Oh, let me tell you, this is the news about a boy, and it's some news about some joy. I'm telling you, joy is something, it's not dependent on all the circumstances. If you'll look at this, I mean, here they are, they had to travel out of their homeland. They had to go and got an expectant woman with you, and had to go to a little town, had to go to a place where there wasn't any room for them, had to go to a place that was probably filled up with other people because of the census and the taxation and all that. I mean, it wasn't a real good, but can I tell you this? It wound up being the best day there was. Amen. Why? It brought great joy because Jesus was born. Amen. It was about a boy. It's about a joy. Let me tell you, it was about the story. The story is this. The angels came as the messengers of God. They came to magnify God, and they came to minister to those that were around you. You know, that's what angels do. That's the job of the angels, is to do those three things. But you see here, as the angels come, first of all, there is a statement that they make. The angel's job is to deliver a message. He makes a statement and says, I've got some news for you. It's not bad news, it's good news. The angels make a statement. But then not only do those angels make a statement, or that angel makes a statement, but then a sign is manifest from that statement. Listen to what it says. And this shall be a sign unto you in verse 12. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And you go on, of course, a little bit further, and you see that they go down to Bethlehem, and they find out that everything is done exactly as it was told to them. That's what they say. Let's go see. Let's see if this is true. Man, when somebody tells you something, you know, in the biblical days, the way you could tell if a man was a prophet of God or not, a real prophet of God, when he said something, it always came to pass as said. That's how you know. And if you ever miss it, you ain't a real man of God. Amen. Ooh, let me just tell you, you know whose bubble that just busted? That just busted Miss Cleo's, Miss 1-800-GET-YOUR-HOROSCOPE. I mean, Gene Dixon and anybody else you want to name under that crowd. Hey, it busts that bubble because they're not true prophets of God. And it'll bust a lot of these other preachers outside these walls in some of those places they try to say is a man of God. Let me just tell you, if you don't have the truth, if you don't have the truth, you better just shut your mouth and move on. Amen? Amen? I'm just telling you. Hey, here's the angel. And he said, I got some good news. And as a matter of fact, let me tell you a little bit more of the specifics of that good news. Here's the story. The story involves this. Here's a sign for you to see. And it says they went down to Bethlehem and that it was exactly, they found that baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. They found him lying in an animal feed trough, a manger. And there he was, born in a place outside of all the comforts of the inn or a hotel or a house or whatever. Thank God there he was born that night. Amen? So there was a sign given. And then after that, don't you know what else was? Man, there was a shout that was magnifying. It was a shout that made you see what that did? It says, and suddenly, verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Woo, isn't that amazing? I mean, there you are, and they're out in the field. They're just minding their business, taking care of their sheep. Nobody's thinking about them. Nobody's worried. But God said, I got some news for you, and I'm going to send an angel down to deliver that news to you. And when the angel comes, he brings them. I mean, nobody thought much about those shepherds. There wasn't nobody fixing a meal, taking it out to the fields for them. They didn't care what shepherds thought and what shepherds knew. Shepherds were just a bunch of dumb old guys. You remember when Peter and John are standing for the learned, the educated, the high up Sanhedrin over in the book of Acts, and it said they looked at them, and when they looked at them, they understood that they were ignorant and unlearned men, and that means they just didn't have any school. They're not like us. But it said they also took note of them that they'd been with Jesus. Amen. Listen. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your station in life. It doesn't matter your bank account numbers. None of that matters in the sight of God. If God's got a message or a word for you, He'll come and bring it to you, whoever you are, wherever you are. Now, I'm just telling you, Paul wrote and said, you know, not many rich, not many wise, not many of the people we think of. There are some that are in those categories that God does save, but it may not be many. But you know what? God gets us little old dummies. Us little old folks that's down here on earth, we ain't got a whole lot, but thank God He sends us something that money can't buy. Amen. He gives us His darling and dear Son. Praise the Lord for that. So here are these angels, and they are magnifying, they're giving glory to God in the highest, they say. Give glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Somebody said, preacher, what in the world is that thing? On earth, peace. Didn't them angels know what we was going to be in the middle of today? Yeah, they did. Well, there ain't no peace on this earth. I'll agree with you. There's not any right here. But can I tell you, there can be right here. Peace right here. When that gift that was given there that night in the person of our dear, darling Lord Jesus, when He's received into your life, you can have a peace that this world doesn't know anything about. It's a peace, Paul says, it passeth all understanding. It's a peace that gets settled and set. And you know what you realize? You have peace with God. When you get saved, you made peace between you and God. But then all of a sudden, He gives you the peace that comes from God. He gives you a peace. It comes from, you remember what the Bible says? That the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. That's the three things that begin that little three sections of threes. And there's nine of them total fruit of the Spirit. But love, joy, and peace, I believe those are some things that God gives us after we get saved. He gives us the ability to love. He gives us the joy that comes from Him, and He gives us a peace that comes from Him. Amen? And, oh, listen, those knuckleheads over in the Middle East, they're signing a peace treaty. It won't last. China and the United States can sign a peace agreement. It won't last. Russia and Ukraine can sign a peace agreement. It won't last. But when you get what God's got down in the depths of your soul, He'll give you a peace that will never, ever go away. Amen? Oh, listen. Peter said it's joy unspeakable and full of glory when that peace of God comes in. So, there you see the bringing, the news of this birth. And then last of all, real quick, notice this. I want you to notice this angelic announcement gives us the boasting of God's beneficence. Now, think about this. If you read the Old Testament, remember I told you the very last word in the Old Testament is curse. In the book of Ezekiel, from chapters 8 through 11, Ezekiel sees a vision, and he's talking about the glory of God at the temple of God. And this glory, as you go through chapters 8, 9, 10, when you get to chapter number 11, Ezekiel says in the body of those verses, he saw glory in the temple, but then it left and it went out to the east side. That would be the Mount of Olives. And then a little bit later on, he talks about how that all of that stuff faded away. What are you saying? I'm saying the glory had departed from Israel. They got into a way like many folks are today. It's rites and rituals. It's religion by rote memorization. It's just religion. It's just, oh, we got to do that. I gotta go here. I got to do that. I got to add this. I got to say this, and I've got to pray this, and I've got, you know, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. All that kind of stuff. It just becomes something that is just a phony, if you will. It's just something, well, we just got to go do this today. The glory was gone. Glory's been gone for hundreds of years. But can I tell you, the angel said, glory to God in the highest. Because He sent His glory here to this earth. And if you remember what John said, and we beheld His glory. Over in John chapter number 1, verse number 14. We beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. We've got the glory again, y'all. Amen. You remember over in the book of Samuel, when the Ark of the Covenant is gone and taken by the Philistines, and they're having war, and they come in. And if you remember what happens, it says that one of the priests, or the sons of Eli the priest, that one of his sons' wife has a baby, and the Ark is gone. She dies after the baby's born. But before she dies, they said, "What do you want to name him?" And she said, "Name him Ichabod, because the glory has departed." Can I tell you, there's a lot of churches, a lot of religious establishments, a lot of religious people. We need Ichabod over them because the glory's plumb gone. But can I tell you, God still got the glory that He can give us through His Son. Amen? You and I need that, don't we? We need that. I mean, the glory's been gone, but wow. The angels sang glory unto God. What are they singing glory for? Well, can I tell you? The angels sing of God's glory because it's His gift that He has given. His power has been demonstrated. His mercy has been revealed. Boy, you and I ought to be singing that glory, glory, glory. Amen? Because when God sent His Son, these things came. And we ought to be giving glory to God. The angels were saying, glory to God. Well, what are you giving Him glory for? Look what He's done. He has provided something for us that had been missing for all of these years. And now, here He is. And the angels are declaring glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. How did peace come? There was a little babe in that animal trough, that animal feeding trough. And he was the peace of God. Amen? And there He is. For everybody, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He has given us the glory of His mercy, His grace, His wisdom, His holiness, His goodness, His greatness. The Bible tells us in the book of Job in chapter number 38, it talks about how that the angels sang glory to God in the creation. God is talking to Job, and He said to one of them, "Where were you when I did this and this?" And He said, "Where were you when the angels, the creatures of heaven, sang at the creation, when they sang glory to God?" Boy, the angels sang at the creation. But can I tell you, when the Lord sends His Son, when God sends His Son in the form of a little babe, there's another song. And it's glory to God. Amen. Can I tell you, one of these days, all of us are going to stand in heaven. You know what we're going to sing? Glory to God, for Thou hast redeemed us out of every kindred, every tongue, and every nation. We ain't through singing glory yet, y'all. I mean, it's going to be glory forever and ever when we see Jesus. Amen? But these angels are talking about His glory. They sang here. And the angels praised Him. And can I tell you, you see these angels praising Him to these simple shepherds. And it said, and it came to pass, the angels were gone away into heaven. Those men are standing there, they're hearing these praises, songs, just acclamations, whatever it is, as they begin to do that. And look what it says in verse number 20. And the shepherds returned after they'd gone and seen Him and you know, verified all the information, if you will. And the shepherds returned. What were they doing? Glorifying and praising God. Can I tell you this? Boy, that praising and glorifying God stuff is catching. Amen. And the Lord wants all of us to catch it. I mean, the angels praised Him. The shepherds praised Him. And we're going to look at this maybe the next time. But there's people that are standing around, and it says they wondered. All of them that were, they wondered about all these things. They wasn't sure. You know, there's a lot of folks standing around wondering today, but I'm glad there's a crowd that said, "Can I just praise God? I'm just going to praise Him." Why in the world are we praising Him? Well, we're praising Him for everything that He's done for us. Amen? Aren't you glad of that? Hey, listen, we'll just stop right there. Got a couple of more things we'll go into, probably do that next week, but I'm glad. Man, that we can give God the glory for what He said. There was an angelic announcement that was made that night. The angel said, "Fear not." Can I tell you, you still don't have to fear today. People are fearful of what's happening in this world. People are fearful of what's happening in their lives. They're fearful about the economy, the political, the social. They're worried about many, many things. But can I tell you, like Jesus told Martha, "Martha, Martha, they are careful and troubled about many things." He said, "But one thing is needful, and Mary's chosen that good part." Martha's sister Mary, chosen that good part, which shall not be. You know what she's doing? She's sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing His word. She's fellowshipping and enjoying some communion with her Heavenly Father through Jesus. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a song this morning. The angels made an announcement. The angels have made an announcement. Oh, and what an announcement it was. It's about a baby. A little babe is born in Bethlehem. But I'm telling you, it's more than a baby. You see what they said? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Do you know the only name they left out of that? Well, later on we'll find out. It's the name Jesus. And they called His name Jesus. He's going to save His people from their sin. He's a Savior. He is a Messiah. And He is the Lord. Amen. Let's stand this morning, if you would, while we sing. What are we going to sing, Brother Ron? Page 81. "Just As I Am." If you need to come, come on this morning. Hey, if you need to be saved, come on. Listen, while we're singing. Ah.